Epa, epa, ándale, ándale. Welcome, welcome to El México Radio Paco.
Just come back, the same thing, okay, you know, start over. Are we back?
Yeah.
Are we back? Why don't you play the intro again and then hit record. Is it record and everything you're going?
Yeah.
Okay, so we never stopped recording?
No.
Okay. What a great way to come back on a Tuesday morning here. Oh, I got to tear this off.
Stop recording.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. You missed the intro. You missed the little Mexican hat dance that we were doing in here. Make sure everybody can listen. No, you're not in the chat room. We are on. Boy, I hate starting shows like this. It just puts a real hitch in my get-along. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. When we can get out, we can sit here for hours and stream music and nothing bad happens. As soon as we switch to live, which is really nothing, means I just turn up the microphone, we go off the air. It's creepy weird, and I don't know why it's happening. I trust the people at Ustream aren't censoring us. But who are we? We are the Dutch Jones Radio Program. There is no one really Dutch Jones. It's just a name I use to shield my personal life so the paparazzi can't find me and I can go shopping with my lovely wife without having to worry about, you know, fans trying to get autographs because nobody really knows who I am. But we're coming to you on Stronghold Radio from Camp Kuia. It's the Commonwealth of Kuia in Central California, actually started by Marxists in the 1880s, but kicked out by the U.S. Cavalry. Then cowboys took over, then hippies took over, and now we're taking over. It's pretty cool. So here we are. It is April the 5th, right, of 2011. It's Cinco de Amo today. Cinco de Amo? What's Cinco de Amo? I don't know what that is.
That was last year.
Yeah, that's going to be May 5th, not April.
We go out and get ammo.
Yeah, we go out and get ammo.
Mayo.
Yeah, on Cinco de Mayo. But thanks for reminding me about that. We need to promote that, Warlin. We're coming to you with a militant Christian worldview, a slight twist on current events, a big, fat, heaping dose of partial preterist Christian beliefs, and anti-Zionist. Yes, we are definitely anti-Zionist. We're not anti-Semitic. We're anti-Zionist. I dislike with a fervent hatred just as much Zionists as I do white supremacists. We are Christian separatists, not racial separatists. I've been getting a lot of Nazis again wanting to listen. I got a lot of mail from Nazis saying that, hey, we like what you're saying. Well, you're not listening then. But anyway, that's I flog that dead horse all the time. But we're not too overly theological. We're meat and potatoes Christians. About 1840s, prior to that, it's about where our theology is, if you want to look it up. We don't get all caught up in this end times ministry. We're just sitting around, you know, going, oh, we're all going to be bailed out. What we do here is we occupy for Christ. And that's coming up this weekend. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff. We're doing training this weekend. We're going to be doing some airsoft training, some live fire training, some classroom training with what's known as Code 20. They're our partners here. They are our brothers in arms. And we do that once a month where we bring people in from all over the state and the world, actually, and the nation, and we train them to be warrior priests and priestesses. We do train women. We train women here, but we don't train them to be frontline troops if this ever goes down. But we do understand that they have the God-given right for self-defense, and it makes it easier for us knowing that the women in the rear with the kids can do some fighting too if they need to. And so we're going to be doing that. Mostly what we're going to focus on this weekend, and probably too late for some of you, but if you want to get involved, email me at dutch@dutchjones.info. We'll work you in. It's $100 for this training because it's just a one-day training. And we're going to work on two-man, three-man fire teams, clearing of rooms and houses, real basic stuff, but I'm going to give you the basic skills so you can go and train with your folks wherever you go. You can train your little family as a fire team. May 20th, next month, we're going to be doing the Larry Wick split-second survival deal. We're really excited about that. We're making arrangements for Larry and one of his assistants to fly in. That is 2.5 days, and that's $150. All of it goes to him. It doesn't go to the church. $150 goes to him. He's paying for his airfare. It's basically going to just cover his costs. But if you haven't seen it, it's splitsecondsurvival.com.
Yeah.
Splitsecondsurvival.com. Luke can put that in there. And he teaches you how to basically take a comb, a pen, the gun, the knife, the axe away from the guy attacking you and obliterate him. And it's for little old women. It's for full-grown men. It's for kids, probably 16 and up. But we're going to do it here. And if you're thinking, well, I can't go all the way to California, it's too costly, you can sleep on the ground here. Think of it as a training, man. Think of it as a bug-out drill. You know, come here, check out what we're doing. Speaking of checking out what we're doing, I told you guys I wasn't going to be on the air last night because I was going to a mega church. What's the name of that church? Gateway Baptist?
No, just Gateway.
Just Gateway Church. And it's one of those big, you know, multi, you know, everybody can come here. We love everybody. I don't know so much they're into Chrislam or anything, but they want to be together and, you know, and make everybody happy. Well, they were going to have in a county stooge from the fire department come in, and I hope she's not listening because it's really bad. And we're going to go more into it in the second half of today, the second hour. But I went there to hear this person speak who I've been contacting for 6 months to come to our church and never showed up. And she didn't show up. And I'll tell you probably in the second hour why she didn't show up. I'm going to save it till then. It's very interesting. But the guy sitting next to me knew who I was and what I do here and the radio show, because he's the one that invited us. He's a listener to the radio show who goes to their church. And I planned on going there to see what they were selling. And it was a diluted form of what we do, you know, be prepared, tell everybody 3 days. So they had an elder from the church who knew what, you know, said, she's not here, we're waiting, but I'm going to tell you what she's going to tell you. Basically make lists, have supplies for 3 days, and wait for FEMA. Well, then the guy next to me goes, I've got a disaster expert right here, a survival expert. He asked me first before he did it. So I grabbed the microphone and did the presentation to about 50 people from another church. It was great. I kept saying, well, come to the church at Kauai. Come to our trainings. You could do it here. You know, come to ours. Check it out. See what we're doing. Be a warrior priest of your household. And, you know, so that was a great, great blessing that God gave us for Stacy and Lou and I to go there. We're just going to go and listen and maybe ask some really interesting questions, like what do penguins taste like? And I'll tell you that story next. But it ended up being a great way to witness to some of these milquetoast Christians. And I saw one guy out of 50 people that was just staring at the wall like, who is this guy? And he looked at the kind of guy that was probably a cop or a fireman who didn't want to hear what I had to say because he thinks I'm just a civilian. Little does he know. I'm a self-fashioned James Bond when it comes to survival. I love this stuff. I live it 24/7. We're always thinking about it. So anyway, move on with that. Here's a cute little story for you. We love our daughter, Anthea. She's 10 years old. She lives with her birth mother, her birth mom. You know, my baby's mama. And unfortunately, we're trying to change that. We're trying to get her to come live here. But she's 10 and being spoiled with Nintendos and 8-track tapes and you know, and all that kind of stuff that the highfalutin people can afford. But she was going to the Monterey Bay Aquarium with her birth mama. And before she went, I said, hey, when you go, when you get to the penguin display and they're asking questions, raise your hand and ask them what penguins taste like. And the reason I did that is about 2 months ago, Rocky and Twinkle Toes, who I don't know if they're in the room. I'm not looking at the room, but they're truck drivers, and they listen to the show. They got married at our church, and for their honeymoon, they went to the coast and did all this touristy stuff, but they went to Monterey Bay Aquarium, and I told them, make sure you ask them what penguins taste like. So when they went through, they asked, like 2 months prior. So when Auntie asked it, they were like, "What? Why did you ask that?" She goes, "Because my daddy wants to know." And they go, "Well, that's weird, because like 2 months ago, some people came through and asked the same thing, this little lady," and Auntie goes, "Yeah, those were friends of mine." But then Auntie goes, "But what do they taste like?" And this time they answered, they said, "It tastes like greasy duck." And I guess my ex-wife had a conniption fit. Well, don't you do that. Don't do what your father tells you to do. She's always doing that. But I think it's great. So we're going to try it about every 2 months, send somebody from our group to Monterey Bay Aquarium and ask what the different animals taste like. Or I guess they're fish. No, a penguin's a bird. So the different creatures. It's a what?
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Say it in the microphone. We can't hear you. Here, say that. What is it, Lou?
It's a thing.
It's a thing. It's a person, place, or thing. So you can ask what they taste like. So that's good there. Let me see. I'm getting messages here. What do I got here? Everybody likes my link. Oh, boy. But, folks, it's important that if you do go to a church, and to answer Worland's question, they probably do allow sodomites to go there. I think Worland asked that. Let me look at the chat room again. These mega churches, you need to go to them when they have these things. If you go to a mega church, if that's all you can find, if you're being fed there, I'm not going to knock you. I'd prefer you start a home church, especially my friends listening in Michigan, the pod people in Michigan, the folks living in Southern California that are using us now as their church, around, and the other people around the world. If you have to go to a big church to be fed, which there's nothing, you know, you can be discerning. You're not going to go to hell because you go to Calvary Chapel. But try and plant some seeds. Bring up this preparedness stuff. And don't say, hey, we're just here to wait for the rapture or wait for FEMA. We need to be proactive. We need to do stuff. I mean, they literally said, all we want are lists of things of food we should store. And I asked Stacy, who was in the back, I go, Stacy, he said three days supply. How many days supply should you have? She goes, as much as you possibly can store. We're about to, I would say, 6 months of food now, 7 months of food. We just went yesterday and bought a ton of canned food. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We found this bread that comes in a can. It's dark bread with raisins in it. It's pre-baked. It's not, it's the dough. You cut open the top and the bottom of the can. It's like in a large can, not one of the big cans, but an intermediate-sized can, like a big can of beef stew. You cut it open, slide it out, and you bake it. And we have a solar oven, so you know we don't have to worry about, you know, building a fire or anything. We've also got Dutch ovens and things like that, and you bake it, and it swells up. Right, it's kind of weird. It's like the stores are picking up on this. Right next to it were whole cooked chickens in a can with the bones stuffed in these cans. So we bought a bunch of those. We'll put them in there. And they were good till 2014, by the way. You know, so we'll rotate them. You've got to keep checking this stuff. Get a black marker and write the dates when you put it in there. We're pretty good about it because we eat the food that we store. We go, hey, this box is 3 months old. This box is 6 months old. Let's rotate it out and buy new stuff. We bought tons of chili. I just love chili. Did we get any SpaghettiOs yesterday? We're good on SpaghettiOs. We try to keep the kids as, you know, simple foods and stuff like that. We're not doing the freeze-dried thing. Even though we can get it at a discount, we need to start selling that to you guys if you want it. But in all honesty, we've got some prepackaged foods that are over-the-counter stuff that we can carry with us, plus we're in an abundance of food in the area. So freeze-dried is not really an option. If I lived in a city or a heavy urban area, you know, rural interface where there's still a lot of people and you may have to bug out, freeze-dried is the answer for that. But we're still doing canned foods. We're, you know, we've got like a storm cellar and it's full of canned foods and we rotate the stuff and we're working on, you know, we've got food buried. We've got 55-gallon drums full of bulk foods. We bought more rice, a ton of rice. Beans, get your beans. That's the next thing we're going to be doing. We need to start checking our beans. We've got, oh, man, I must have 5 years' supply of beans, but they do go bad. You can still eat them. They don't get to the point where you can't eat them, but they start tasting really bad. So, you know, check your beans, rotate them out. We've got red winter wheat. We've got grinders and things, what do they call mill for those. So anyway, we shared this with the people at the church last night. These are the things you need to be doing. I really pushed heavily that you had a Christian duty to do this. I said, this great big building, I got a giant building. It's like a corporate church building. That's what it is. Several little meeting room, not little. They were their meeting room was bigger than our church, huh? It was like ridiculous. I said, this could be a shelter. You know, you guys are going to be down here with the ambulances and the firemen. You don't have to worry about that part. You know, we've got a different need up there, but you guys need to start training now. And the guy that was facilitating it, Bill, we found out he was an ex-district attorney for the county, and he said his son was law enforcement. And he goes, he's been bugging me to get my backpack and my firearms in order and be ready to move on foot. So what's amazing, Minuteman saying, don't tell him about my 3,000-square-foot bunker. Yeah, but what's amazing is that a church like Gateway, this big corporate church, we estimated they have about 2,000 people that go to that church, and only 50 showed up for this preparedness meeting. 50. We're a church of 50 people, and guess what? We had 45 people show up at the last training. And the 5 people that didn't make it were out of town. That's it. So percentage-wise, they're going to be in trouble if they've only got 50 people at their church, you know, that are willing to step forward and do that. really weird stuff. But the fact that churches are starting to do this, we go to the grocery store and we see, you know, I've never ever seen this dark bread in a can before. Never. It's a perfect survival thing. It had raisins in it. I could survive forever on dark bread and raisins. Not, you know, forever, tentatively. But it's, so we got some of that. Jerky, we got a bunch of jerky at the store. Although we have the ability to make our own jerky. We got to figure out how to make woodpecker jerky as I look out the window and see this red-headed woodpecker tearing up one of our power poles. But we've got jerky. We got a jerky kit. You can get those anywhere. I think ours was bought offline. It was a gift from Grandpa for Lou and I. But you can get jerky kits at any reasonable outdoor store.
It's like edible jerky, not the hard.
Yeah, and it's hard. Edible jerky. It's not like real. And it comes with different seasonings and stuff. That's the other thing. We were looking at seasonings again today because we buy a lot of seasonings. I still think that seasonings and seeds and ammo will be the real currency when this stuff happens. Not what, you know, and I'm not down on gold or silver, and we're going to talk a little bit about that too. But I think that you're going to be more able to transfer seeds and spices and things like that for other items. We went to a prospecting store, and I told you guys previous Sunday, a week ago Sunday, we had a prospector come in. We found out about some mining claims in our area, and we're going to start working those mining claims with the permission of the owners, and we're even Stacy and I and Lou are going to be looking for a mining claim because we're surrounded by BLM land. We might as well do it, and it's a great, it's one of the few freedoms we still have. That they're trying to take away. So if we don't do it, maybe we can, you know, get it now. But we went and got two gold pans, the little sucking bottle things. I can't remember what they're called. I call them snifters. I can't remember what they are for the life of me, Stacy. If you're listening, please help me. Unless you're, I know you're cooking dinner, but and then the little crack vials. And I said, what else do I need? You know, and this guy could have sold me the store, and I would have, you know, gone, okay, well let's buy this and that. And he goes, no, that's all you need: a shovel, a bucket, and these items, and some patience. And just go. But what was cool is when we walked in there, he showed us a picture of 160 ounces of gold that he and three other guys had found on the San Joaquin River about 40 miles from here, maybe 50 miles, in one day. 160, and I just looked at it. I was amazed. The picture was like a giant, the big black gold pan was just full, and then they had jars, like mayonnaise jars. Three of them were full, and each one was 6 pounds of gold. And they said everybody walked away after, you know, processing fees, because they don't give you the face value for gold. But he walked away with $70,000.
What are you looking at? He was eating a fly.
Oh, the spider's eating a fly? We got a spider web above us. Cool. And I asked this guy behind the counter, and this is a guy, he's wearing a shirt that says Federation of Independent Miners, which is still hilarious to me. and I'll answer that in a minute, Warland. And he said, but the next day we found 2 ounces. And then he showed a mining claim where they had worked for hours digging this pit, and he says, we got 2 ounces out of that. He goes, you don't always strike it big. So this guy was very honest. But I said, what did you, you know, if you don't mind me asking, what did you do with the $70,000? He goes, I bought freeze-dried food, silver. You weren't there, Lou. And I think he said he bought bullets. He says, that's what you're going to need. That's what all we need. So I figured out this guy's like-minded. Not a Christian, really, but we were talking and stuff. But it's really good that that I'm seeing and meeting more people that are making sense. So we're going to start panning for gold up here. And the cool thing is, I went over this in another show, so I won't do it, but it's a sub-market. We find the gold. We sell it to people that are too weak, meek, or ignorant to find the gold. We get cash. We convert that cash to silver, real silver, that we can trade in a post-collapse economy much easier than gold, and we buy the things we need. Now, Warland's asking me if I ever have any crystal formation geodes or stuff like that. No, I do not. I don't have anything of precious stones or metals. Meteorites were mentioned in our class that we had. Meteorites are a good thing, but you sell those to universities and there's a record of the money. Gold is still the thing where you can just trade it and trade it and trade it. And some people will pay more for a nugget. I think that's what someone... Yeah, right there. I see Freedom Satanist. A nugget can be worth 20 to 40% more than its weight in gold just because it looks cool and people want to make jewelry out of it. He showed me a nugget that was $400. He says it's $400 value in gold, but people will pay about $600 for it to make it into a necklace. So I see Freedom's got it right there 100% in the chat room. it's not necessarily the weight of the nugget that matters. It's sometimes you find something unique. And like the meteorites, when you find meteorites, some of them can be as much as $10 a gram or $2,000 a gram or $500,000 just because it's one of the rarest kinds ever because it's got some kind of crystalline formation in it. But you've got to be able to sell those to universities, and they keep track of where the money is because it's a university. So if I find a meteorite, I may just, I may hang on to it just because it's cool, unless I can liquidate it some other way. But I don't want Uncle Sam knowing I'm doing it. But the gold, you just go to these different, like he says, you buy gold. He goes, if you find gold, just bring it to me. I'll buy it. It'll be like a small fee. Like if it's 95% gold, pure gold, he goes, I'll pay you 80% cash or silver. They like to do silver. And I'd love just to have silver. Presence of rose quartz is a good sign gold is near. I've asked about 4 prospectors that question in the last week, and they've all said, not really. They said gold is where gold is, and if people find gold and they look around and they see rose quartz, they go nuts. Just like black sand, he goes, it's not always a rule. So they said in our, they go, it's just as much yes as it is no. I went to a community college, took a one-day seminar on how to pan for gold, and everything they told me basically was wrong when I talked to real prospectors. They say it's a lot of it has to do, you can read the terrain for erosion, and that's a key. You can look for eddies behind big boulders in the river, and they said there may be black sand there or not, but you look for the presence of about cue ball in a pool set, size stones. He goes, because they're the mass of gold and stuff. If it traps those in there, it may trap gold. So, and I'm just telling you what these last 4 guys that I talked to told me. But, you may be right, I see freedom, and they could be feeding me a bunch of hooey, too. But these guys want us to come up here and work their claims. Plus, they're telling us about a fourth claim that is open, and they suggest we do it for the 100. You pay $147, and it's yours from September to September, and you have to do it every year. But the thing about fool's gold also you're mentioning, they say there's none up here. Iron pyrite, there's none in the area where we're at. The most common mistake people make is mica. It's this flaky thing, and then the sun hits it, and people think it's gold. I can walk along the shores, the sandy shores of these rivers here, and you look down, and you'll see all this shining, but if you put your hand over it, it goes away. Gold will still sparkle when you cut off the light source. So... But the other thing is I had a rude awakening, these nuggets that I thought would be something. I'm like, wow, this must be worth thousands. He goes, it's like $200. That's $75. Has to do with the purity of the gold. So there's this, I don't want to say black market. There's this sub-economy of prospectors that are trading gold for silver right now. And silver's projected to make a dip and then take off. I think right now, what was it at, like $39 an ounce the last couple days? You guys probably follow it more than I do. We got a guy who goes to our church that buys silver literally by the truckload because he uses it in manufacturing for a lubricant, and he says they're waiting for it to take the dip, and then they're going to put all their money into silver because it's going to take off, and they consume it. It's not like they're investing in it, but their products that, high speed machines, firearms use this silver based lubricant, so they need it to manufacture it, and if they can buy as low as possible. So we're going to be watching, and as silver goes down, Stacy and I may go buy a couple hundred dollars worth of silver. We'll pray about it and talk about it. But if we can go out into Mannequin Creek, which is a stream behind our house, we live on a stream. The stream travels underneath our house. I used to use it for cooling the milk when this was an active dairy. So we've got access to some things. And I see Freedom saying silver's up 75 cents today. So who knows, Gold's still fluctuating around $1,400 an ounce. So if I can get 1 ounce, if I can get 1 ounce of gold, figure sell it for $1,000, depending on the purity, and then buy, can you imagine buying $1,000 worth of silver, which is about to go triple or quadruple? Not that that's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it to get rich. Stacy and I are doing it so that we have something to trade. We take that gold, we go buy silver rounds, coins, things like that, that people will feel comfortable trading. They know, it's a 1942 dime. We know that's silver. Yeah, Batfag saying that there's no big dip coming. Yeah, I don't know. I just, know what I read and what the professionals tell me. But they're saying that they're predicting a dip. I trust guys who predict the markets the same as I trust a weatherman, L. Warland's got a good point there. Copper. I've talked about that before. We're buying copper as a church. Not me personally, but the church is buying rolls of copper. You can do all kinds of stuff with copper. And it's going to be a valuable commodity also. We can make coins with it, so copper's not a bad thing to be looking at. The market has been manipulated for decades. The government has no strategic silver to dump into the markets. You know, that's another good point there, Batfag. When Roosevelt took over the gold, when they said private ownership was illegal, let's say gold was at $50 an ounce back then when he did that, immediately they boosted the price to $70 an ounce. And everywhere around the world, it was maybe $120 an ounce. The gold and silver precious metals market is heavily manipulated. Heavily manipulated. And the fact that, you know, I wouldn't risk the family farm on buying a bunch of gold right now, but if we can find it in the dirt, and guess what? If I can get exercise doing it, and Lou and Stacy and Anthea and I can be out there bonding as a family, then it's okay. But I wouldn't go out and buy any precious metal right now unless I thought the end was really, really near, and those would only be silver rounds to use as a currency to trade within our sub-community up here. Remember in the 80s what happened to silver? I remember families being broke over silver in our little community. People were buying silver at like $9 an ounce, and it started to go up. I think it got as high as like $20 an ounce, and they lost. And then it went down to like $3 an ounce, and everybody lost everything. Just another means of sucking wealth out of the community. That's why I don't do the precious metals as an investment. I'm looking at currency. So you guys know, and let's, you know, I say it all the time, my precious metal is lead and brass ammo. Stacy and I, whenever we go to Walmart, she buys a couple thousand rounds of ammo. She's like, oh, let's get some more 22 shells. Remember in Patriots, 22 shells were like currency. We really believe that's what's going to happen. Oh, wow, we're getting to the first break here. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Please stick around. Keep listening to Stronghold Radio. We'll be right back. I'll give out the phone number if you guys want to call in and talk about this.
The reason is it isn't lawful money. And the truth is stated plainly in this song. Paper money. Paper money, it's a federal trick without a treat. It's the source of all inflation and the reasons why your ends don't meet. Our founding fathers wrote our Constitution, which states that only Congress has the right to print up dollars backed by gold and silver, which guaranteed the future would be bright. Then Congress signed a contract with some banksters. This happened back in 1910 plus 3. Well, those banksters said, we'll guard your gold and silver and issue paper money for a fee. Paper money, bogus money, it's been proven throughout history. It deceives you while it bleeds you, as it leads you down to tyranny. So now we've got this private corporation, which calls itself the Federal Reserve, whose purpose was to strangle our great nation and plunder from us wealth they don't deserve. Now those banksters sit on top our gold and silver, then warn us not to practice guile or greed, and then charge us compound interest on some paper, which they print up any time they feel the need. Paper money, worthless money, it's a nation's curse since times of old. things won't ever get no better till we make the Fed give back our gold. Those banksters talk about a new world order and why the USA should play their game. Well, let's throw those traitors out and lock the border before we only have ourselves to blame. Paper money, funny money, it's a ticket stub to tyranny. Gold and silver is the answer. It will reinstate our liberty. We the people have the power. We can reinstate our liberty. We can reinstate our liberty.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Stand by. Trying to down a Reese's Pieces. Yeah.
Oh, here's the water.
Stand by for news. Okay, you're listening to Dutch Jones on Stronghold Radio. Coming to you from Camp Career, where we discuss things Christian and worldly. I'm trying to get a Reese's Pieces here during the break. It's a beautiful day here in Kalia. 85 degrees, sun shining, wispy clouds, no chemtrails, just wispy clouds. Everything's green. We were weed eating all day around the church and then made a trip for more food. We went. Yesterday was canned goods, today was meat. We went and got the other white meat, you know, the other white meat, chicken and pork. Oh, I love that bumper music. It makes me feel like I'm on a major network going, oorah, you know, it's like, I feel like Alex Jones. I'm just kidding. I got an email today from a guy, and I hope you're listening, Chris. I think his name was Chris. I have to check the email. Where he found us through Alex Jones or something, and so welcome. I'm glad you're listening, and I will look at those things you sent me. It's really hard for us to watch videos and things here online. Because we don't have much bandwidth. We're on a mountaintop with a very tiny, teeny, itty-bitty satellite dish that takes it's no bandwidth at all. So we can't watch a lot of videos. But we have to download some stuff for this training this weekend, so we may go to a restaurant here in town for breakfast tomorrow, and we will take a look at that. So thank you. Keep sending the emails, dutch@dutchjones.info, dutch@dutchjones.info. I spelled Jones kind of weird just to making it look a little different. Lou, someone's talking to you. yeah, I'm not going to do Alex Jones. That guy's too much of a Zionist for me.
I'm Alex Jones, and you're going to die if you don't buy my T-shirts.
You know, that's pretty much all he does. He has some good stuff on there. He has Lindsey Williams on. I like him when he comes on Coast to Coast. But after that thing he did in Texas when those people were having a Second Amendment rally in front of the police station down there, I think it was in Houston, I can't remember, and he got videotaped showing up trying to be a prima donna, and everybody had to bow to him, and he was interfering with their rally. And he's like, I was doing this before you were born, and I'll be doing this after you're born. You can't be doing it. So, you know, that was pretty funny. I didn't even mean to say it that way. I'll be doing this after you're born. I slip of the tongue made it funny.
I'm Jones, I'm eternal.
I'm eternal. The eternal Alex Jones.
You should find his soundboard. But we here at the Church at Kauai are just meat and potatoes Christians. You know, we're Confederates. We're not going to lie about that. We believe in states' rights. People go, oh, that means you're racist. Well, if you think that, you're retarded and you don't get to listen to my show, please smash your computer. We're all about states' rights. We're not pro-slavery unless it's biblical slavery. Slavery used to be a thing you did when you couldn't take care of your family. You couldn't eat. You had no place to live. You would go to a master and he'd pierce your ear and put a ring in it. That's why we don't wear earrings, because we're not slaves. And you would work for him for 7 years, and at the end of those 7 years, you would be given an agreed-upon amount of animals or land. You might even marry his daughter, the master's daughter. So what they call it today is welfare and Social Security. It's just a different kind of slavery. So for you idiots that think that slavery was nullified with the invasion of the South and the butchering of civilians and the occupation of Reconstruction, no, you're an idiot. Slavery still goes on, and in some nations, even brutal slavery. There's biblical slavery, so that's what we do. So, well, let's say I do a good Alex Jones. I've actually been practicing. I used to do pirate radio when he first came on, and I used to make fun of him a lot, just because I was jealous because he was a millionaire and I wasn't. So I used to do fake Alex Jones shows all the time. I used to do fake Art Bell shows, too. I can't do Art Bell anymore. Yeah, I used to make fun of Art Bell all the time. So, yeah, that's the secret right there is I see freedom. You just have to sound constipated and gruff like you've smoked 100 cigars. And egotistical. You know, when you're interviewing somebody, you got to interrupt them constantly and talk about yourself. Well, that's like the time I was out in front of the Fed with my megaphone and I was yelling at people to look at me. And did I ever tell you about my T-shirts? You know, go buy my T-shirts.
Oh, man, that hurt my voice. Hang on. I got to gargle. That's better now. I can't do that too much. I try to make a living doing voices. Warland can do Yoda. I've tried out for several movies that were animated. Hanna-Barbera, Disney. I used to go and make the rounds. Just because I've used my voice or video or radio always to make a living somehow. And I just wasn't consistent enough for them. I wasn't professional. They kept saying, go to voice school, and I never did it. When I was younger, maybe I should have. I'm too old now. Maybe as I get older and more useless, I'll maybe try and find a voice coach or something and do that. Get back into it and come up. Maybe we should do our own animated cartoons. You should learn how to be an animator. We'll do like Lewis and Dutch cartoons. It'd be kind of funny. I got some good news. We've been following the Red Dawn dilemma, Red Dawn 2, that it wouldn't come out. I got several emails from several of you, and I also discovered this on my own. I'm on the mailing list from the producer because I want to make sure that when Red Dawn comes out, we promote it. But now I'm conflicted. Minuteman sent me one. A couple other people sent me. Dwayne sent me one. My friend Barry sent me this. They're going through and digitally animating out all the references to China and changing the villain to North Korea. Now, I understand in Hollywood things are done. The movie's a good movie. It's worth getting out, showing the youth of California fighting this Asian invasion. But in reality, is North Korea going to do anything more than terrorism or one or two nuke strikes on us? So we're bowing, Hollywood is bowing down, so the Jews of Hollywood are bowing down to the Marxists of China, the Maoists, of China, so as not to offend China. I mean, they're not going to show this movie in China anyway. It's probably going to be in the theaters for 2 weeks because it'll offend the tender mercies of all of America. It'll go straight to digital video, and we'll pick it up that way. It's just ridiculous to me that they would do that, so I was like really going to promote him heavily. I was going to have the producers on the show, but now I'm thinking sellout. I don't know if I want to promote them. I don't know if I'm going to have them on the show. I don't know if I'm going to tell you to go see, and this is hard for me to say, the new Red Dawn. I'm going to have to pray on this one because there are biblical doctrines of warfare at play here. Deception, you know, you can pretend to comply but still get your message out. But I think that, to me, on its face, it looks like a sellout. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think them changing the movie of Red Dawn so that it can get released by MGM to North Korea being the bad guys rather than China so we don't offend? Do you think it matters? Or should I be focusing on the fact that it's just about malicious fighting and that's a good thing? So I'd like to know what you think. You can call in with this or anything else. I want you to call in 559-346-8362. The number to call in is 559-346-8362. I got to make sure the ringer's up. I mean, because I turn the ringer off and I always forget to put it back. Let's do this. Okay. Ringer's up, so I'll hear it when you guys call. And you can call in and talk about this or anything else. And don't forget, after the top of the hour, when we swing over to Liberty Tree Radio. And Liberty Tree Radio did play the Thursday and Friday shows. I was mistaken to think they weren't. I think they just pick it up sometimes as a guest. So we're still on Liberty Tree Radio. After the top of the hour, it will be Steve Klein with Code 20. We're going to talk about a couple different things. We're going to talk more about how I got to go to this church, and I was going to listen to a FEMA representative, and I ended up doing the presentation, and it's kind of interesting. Minuteman is reminding me that it's because China I think China's bailed out MGM. They were having financial problems, so China bought the studio, and that's why they could change the bad guy. As long as you remember that the bad guy is China, it's good, Minuteman's saying. That's a good point. That's an excellent point. And it almost didn't get released. So it's probably a good thing here. Oh, let's see who we're talking to. Okay. You're live on the air with Dutch Jones.
Hey, DJ, it's Twinkle Toes.
Hey, I didn't even know you were listening. Are you guys listening or are you just calling in?
Yeah, listening, but it was really hard to get through.
Okay.
We're going through mountains and stuff.
Oh, well, that's cool. These folks are listening on a Wi-Fi card and a semi-truck, folks. That's how dedicated they are. What do you want to talk about, Twinkle Toes?
Okay, well, all right. Me and Rocky got a bag of Cracker Jacks. Oh, by the way, about the movie, my opinion is they sold out.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But should we go see it? Should we go see it even though they sold out?
Yeah, I think so.
And we'll maybe have a party up here at the church. Luke, we'll try and get an advance copy and have a party here at the church.
Yeah, I think so, just to see.
Okay.
All right. We got a bag of Cracker Jacks yesterday. And the prize was a little trivia story about a president, okay?
Okay.
Now, all right, guess. Can you guess who I grew up to be? Alright? As a boy, I was athletic and tall for my age. One of my happiest memories was when my father gave me a pony and taught me how to ride it. My father died when I was 11, and I eventually went to live with my older half-brother, Lawrence. I didn't have much of a formal education effect that bothered me most of my life.
Hmm.
When I was 20, I joined the military and worked hard to gain a commission in the British Army. Ironically, I would later become an enemy of the British. Who am I?
George Washington.
What?
George Washington.
Yes.
Yes, George Washington. That was in a Cracker Jacks box? I'm losing you, Twinkles. Uh-oh, we lost her. Twinkle Toes, are you there? They're driving through the mountains up north. So, good point. So, I don't know if you heard that. She gave a little, it was a trivia question. It was in a box of Cracker Jacks, and it was about George Washington. I actually talked about his militant upbringing and being an officer and training to ride. And so, that's great. So, if you're still out there, thank you for calling in with that. That's awesome. Speaking of that, did you see there was an article on Yahoo? I reposted it, but the White House has a website on the history of the presidents. And it's a real cheesy, everybody's happy kind of review. I mean, it doesn't even talk about Nixon other than being impeached. It doesn't go into detail the dirty tricks and all that kind of stuff. And it doesn't talk about Johnson expanding the war in Vietnam. Well, this one historian was rather angry specifically because in the line... Oh, here we go. Are you going to try it again?
Yes. Okay. Now, all right. The answer to that one was George Washington,
sure.
Right?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, now it has a little story about him, okay? After being criticized over a defeat in the battle with the French, George Washington resigned from the British Army and returned to farming in Virginia. Mm-hmm. After the beginning of the Revolutionary War, he was appointed as commander of the colonial forces and eventually led the Americans to victory over the British.
Amen.
Of all Washington's contributions to the country, his greatest may have been his decision to decline the wishes of many of his countrymen to become king.
Yeah.
America's system of democracy is testament to his wisdom and personal integrity.
Oh, you had me till there. They give you all these facts and then sneak in that little serpent there, the word demonocracy.
Yes.
Oh, man. I was just going to say, hey, don't go to school, get Cracker Jacks, but see, they put that twist in there. Ignorance is everywhere, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But to indoctrinate in an innocent bag of Cracker Jacks, you know?
Wow. But yeah, it's like they give you a bunch, they give you nine truths and one sour grape.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, that made me mad.
Yeah, yeah.
How dare they?
Well, yeah, it's to be expected, you know, these movies that they make, that they come out with. This, I was just talking about the White House website with the history of the presidents, glosses over everything, and, you know, and doesn't talk about the truth, you know, half the time. They just give you all the happy, smiley stuff. And then they get you, democracy, democracy, democracy. It's the talking point of the media in North Africa today. You know, they're fighting for democracy in these Arab nations. Oh, yeah, really. So that's an excellent find there. I'm going to have to try Cracker. I can't eat them because they're too high in sugar, but I'll feed them to Lou. Lou's like, I'll eat them.
Yeah, we're going to get more and see what other, you know, stuff they're trying to sell the little kids. So.
Sure.
Okay.
So where are you guys right now? I don't mean the exact mile marker, but what state are you in?
We just got into California.
Oh, so are you going to be here this weekend?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, remember, we got training on Saturday. We've got, remember the stuff I did with you during conference with our friends from Oklahoma? We're going to do that again with about 10 other people.
Yes, at least I will be there.
Okay, good, good, good. If Rocky can be there, make sure he gets Saturday at 10 o'clock. It'll be good. We need as many locals as we can because we're hosting about 10 to 15 people from out of town.
All right.
Yep, yep, yep. Okay, well, thank you, and traveling mercies to you and your husband. Okay, God bless you, sister. She's breaking up. Good night. Twinkle Toes and Rocky, newlyweds on the road. They go out there and they gather intel for us. They find really cool things that are sold in other states and... Oh, well, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, I was talking about the website. Yeah, they're glossing over history. People were mad that they didn't mention Jefferson's slavery. They were mad that they didn't mention Jackson's fervent slaughtering of the Native Americans. But the thing about Lincoln was this. They said that the disaster that occurred of Reconstruction wouldn't have happened if Lincoln hadn't been assassinated. And this one guy, the historian that was being interviewed in the article, is basically saying, well, one, Reconstruction wasn't bad. It was necessary. And two, you know, Lincoln would, Lincoln being there, you know, being gone doesn't mean that they butchered the South further. They just are, there is a cult around Lincoln. A cult around Lincoln. Just like there's a cult around calling us a democracy over and over again, there's a cult around Lincoln. And I hope that somebody someday in my lifetime makes a real movie about his sodomite, Marxist, just scumbag. He was a lawyer. How much more do you want? He was a lawyer politician. And this myth about Lincoln is just, I've had enough of it. I like there's a movie coming out next month there. He's a vampire hunter. Now they're going to turn him into a superhero. You know, I mean, even Star Trek. Remember that Star Trek episode where Kirk ends up on the planet and he's fighting like all these, he's fighting like Nazis and Genghis Khan and Lincoln's his buddy? You know, what is up with that? So it goes back to it. You know, he who controls the media, the history, really, the words that a society lives by, the terms that we use are the ones that are really, really in control, truly in control. So when they're telling little kids with Cracker Jack boxes, this is democracy. I'm doing this for democracy. You know, and you bring back all these great letters and quotes of the Founding Fathers that said, oh, evil democracy, we don't want it. We're a republic. We're a Christian republic. No, it's just sad. And even the leaders today, you know, all the falsely inflated, bloviating, self-aggrandizing folks on Fox, they use democracy over and over and over again. In the movie Gangs of New York, Bill the Butcher did not like Lincoln at all. Warren says, "I didn't know. I never saw the movie." I was listening while we were weed whacking. I had an iPod. I don't want to sound like I can afford an iPod, but some music playing thing that we had. I put a bunch of Confederate Irish songs from, you know, immigrant Irish that came and fought for the South, and they keep. I love this term. It was like the cowardly Lincolnites, you know, ran when they saw the rifles of the Irish Brigade. You know, that kind of stuff. I just, you know, Lincolnites. The Lincolnites have pretty much taken over. And who was Lincoln the first president of this party of? He was a Republican. So all you conservative Christian Republicans, your party was born out of oppression. You know, I think I would, if I had to do... a political party. If I had to join a political party and there was only the two-party system, I would be a Blue Dog Democrat, a Southern Democrat. That's just me. I mean, I know they're not the same as they were in the 50s or in the 1880s, 1850s. So I know it's different. But if I had to join a party, I'd say I'd be a Blue Dog Democrat. I would not be a Republican, even though I'm a what they like to label as a conservative. I'm a Christian. I mean, I wish there was a Christian party. Right now, we really like the Constitution Party and the Independent Party here in California because we can't, because of legal things. I could have the pastor go into it. He's the chaplain for the Independent Party for the state of California, and has run several times on those tickets for different state level offices. We can't call it the Constitution Party for legal issues. We're even talking, and I guess I can say this: what was her name? The black woman who ran with Buchanan as vice president. Somebody help me here. Somebody Google it. I forgot her name. She listens to the show. She lives in Las Vegas. She told us last week that she's selling her property and moving here. She's like 70 years old or something. But she knows that the two-party system is done because she ran on the Republican ticket. They almost made it. Buchanan almost made it. He did so well, he was scaring everyone. And he had a black woman as his running mate. So she wants to come up here and join our little group. And in fact, we're thinking about having her. I shouldn't do too many spoilers. The conference this year in October, she may have one of her own booths, and she's going to teach on the falsehood of the two-party system and how, you know, they tried to work within the Republican Party. I wish Ron Paul would get that message. People say, well, he'd have even a worse chance on an independent ticket, but he would be righteous. He would be standing. Yeah, we need an anti-party party. Yeah, I like that, Warlin. But even on the local level, they almost demand that you... Are you a Democrat or Republican? No. Well, which is it? No. You know, you have to be one or the other. And that's the falsehood of the two-party system, of the yes or no argument. There are other options. I remember when Anderson ran for president as an independent, and everybody's like, he doesn't have a chance. And we all know Perot, you know, that maniac. I miss him. Where is he? Is he dead? I don't even know. Is Perot alive, Lou? You don't know. I don't know if Ross Perot's even alive. If he's not, I may put him in my Deadpool for this year if I can add any more. Nobody took part in that, by the way. I asked you guys if you want to do a Deadpool, and none of you did. I think we should all choose Charlie Sheen, but that's an obvious one. But... yeah, it's like you don't really see any strong. Bachman's going to probably run as a Republican. Everybody's telling me Bachman's the one. Let's support Bachman. I don't like everything she says. I don't think that Chuck Baldwin's going to run against Obongo. I don't think he is. I think he's done. He gave it a try. He put his sacrificial giving to the nation out there, and nobody wanted it. You know, only a handful of us voted for him. But people are going to continue to vote, anybody but Obongo. Well, that's not always good either, because that could be their plan. Maybe Obongo got in there to screw everything up to finish Bush's job so that you will take any Republican, and we're going to see Romney in there, you know. Everybody, I love Romney, you know, he's a Christian. Well, no, not necessarily. Look at his life. Look how he lives his life. Look where he puts his money. Look who's backing him. You know, I'm not voting for Romney. I'm hoping that there's somebody out there on the horizon that hasn't been seen yet, hasn't come up. I keep saying let's run Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, but I think it would kill him. If the stress of it didn't kill him, because it would kill me, They would kill him. They don't want somebody like Pastor Warren Mark Campbell or John Weaver or Thomas McConnell or any of the real leaders that are out there, you know, out there, because anybody who's ripping the clothes off the emperor is going to get smacked down. You know, Pat Feig saying Romney's a fake, I believe that too. You know, look what he did in Massachusetts. You know, we're going to get a lot of these people that are not even good Republicans. They're just there because that's the suit they wanted to wear. You know, it's like professional sports. You know, I remember we had in Colorado, I think it was Pat Schroeder. She started out as a Republican. Everybody voted for her, and then she switched to a Democrat. I've always been active in politics. Even before I could vote, I worked on campaigns, especially on local campaigns for state-level stuff in Colorado. I've always been one of those guys. Yeah, give us Barabbas. Great point, Bat Fag. Great point. We'll offer them up a righteous candidate, and they take Barabbas. Oh, that is... I'm going to steal that for a Sunday school lesson. Oh, boy, that's... You know, that's awesome. Everybody chooses Barabbas. I posted some stuff on my Facebook page about the truth about Obongo that was out there before, about him being a sodomite drug mule for Al-Qaeda before the war. Before the war, before he was elected, how he may have not even, he may not even be, what was his name? Sotero, Barry Sotero may not even be his real name. How he turned tricks in New York to make money and he sold drugs. I mean, all this stuff about Obongo was there, but yet they still took him. Oh, Donald Trump? No. I think Donald Trump would be funny. He'd be a very entertaining president. He does too much with the Chinese, though. He's so in bed with the Chinese, it's not even funny. So I don't trust Donald Trump because his financial well-being is tied directly to joint investments with Chinese corporations, which means the government of China. I wouldn't trust him. He may talk big and say, oh, I know the Chinese, I know how to deal with them, but he's in bed with them. And he's not going to... Why for a $175,000 a year job... Is he going to sacrifice his billions, right? So I don't trust Donald Trump either. But he would be fun to watch. I mean, if you're going to have a bad president who's crooked, you might as well have one that's fun to watch. Who is that guy from Chicago, the governor of Illinois, that got kicked out? I hope he runs. Folks, this flew by. This has been one of the best Tuesdays ever, and you guys made it possible with your input. So, folks, we're going to come back after the break. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. We're going to join our sister network, our big sister network, Liberty Tree Radio. Steve Klein's about to call in here any minute. In fact, let me unplug the phone so you guys don't hear it. And we'll come back on Stronghold Radio with Code 20. I'm giddy. I'm excited. My recovery's going good. Your prayers are working. And we just, I thank you all for your prayers and your cards and your emails, folks. I haven't forgotten about it. I just don't want to flog a dead horse and make it about me, but I'm doing great. Doing really good. And I give credit to the Lord. He answered the prayers that you guys put up. This has nothing to do with pills or doctors. This has everything to do with prayers. And I'm not going to forget it. I'm going to be like a recovering alcoholic. I'm going to be giddy. And I'm going to try and ride this wave of grace as long as I can. We'll be back. Rod Lugwalovich. That's who I want to run for president. Lugwalovich. You know, one of those Polish guys. We'll be right back.
The name to us is not a new one, though. Tis one that shall never degree. In a true-hearted Irishman in the ranks of Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade, didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? Call us invaders, tease, but states' rights and liberty we ask. And Missouri will ever defend her, no matter how hard may be the task. Then let it through Irishmen assemble, let the voice of Missouri be obeyed. And the northern fanatics will tremble when again they meet Kelly's Irish Brigade.
when they met with the Irish Brigade. My boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade. Didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade. Didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble?
Sorry for the glitches. Lou's just yelling commands at me. He's scaring me. Tell him to reset.
Muslims, none of you heard of that, but the army of South Sudan has kicked the Muslim ass. And now it says right here, as we expected, South Sudan voted for the referendum and history has been made. The world now is seeing a new nation emerging from the ashes of war and the horrors of genocide through stunning miracles on the battlefield and at the peace table on July 9, 2010. South Sudan's Christians stood against jihad, resisted the northern Islamic regime, and won their freedom. I've been working with these guys now and talking with these guys, and I have been making suggestions to them to now you can't stop. Because the Muslims are going to come after you. These guys are good. I don't need to train these guys. These guys started with Code 20. And by the way, Dutch has done a great job, and our electronics warfare officer, his son Lou, you can go to my website, and you can check out these clips of the Sudanese beating the hell out of the Muslims for real, and it shows the Christians using low-tech Code 20 defeated the high-tech Soviet-armed Islamic Army of Northern Sudan. You can see this at abolishislam.com. I got the first of the YouTubes up on my website today, www.abolishislam.com. Tomorrow, I'm going to put up the second Sudan fighting, and the third one, the guy that I'm working with, this guy is bold. His name is William Levi. And he is the go-to middleman here in the United States for Operation Nehemiah. And you'll be able to see those on my website, abolishislam.com. And you can watch it. It's insane that here we got these overwhelmed Christians in southern Sudan refused to give up, murdered, killed, overrun, beaten, raped, burned up, destroyed, starved. Wouldn't give up, and by using proper Christian warfare, guerrilla warfare, Code 20 warfare, beat the hell out of the Muslims of northern Sudan. Now, I'm telling these guys, look, I work with the Coptic Christians in Egypt who are very brave people, but they refuse to fight. So for 14 centuries, they have just been just decimated.
Right.
I've been telling, I have about 500,000 Egyptian Christians who watch my show at my TV show. But I want to zero in on what Dutch has done and what Lou has done. And now they're helping me out a lot. We're posting on www.abolishislam.com. You'll see the actual videos. You'll see Code 20 actually working. So go there tomorrow. Go there tonight. Check it out. All the stuff that Dutch and I are talking about, which leads into point two. Dutch, you're the man of the hour. I don't care if you had 27 strokes. Dude, you're jumping back like the Sudanese Christians. You're going to kick ass and take names this Saturday. You are the man in charge of the range, and you got all kinds of great stuff going this Saturday. What do you got cooking, man?
Well, I thought the worst thing I could possibly do was to sit in bed and whine about having a stroke. Instead, I took it as a kick in the head from the Lord. I keep saying I don't recommend a stroke, but for me it was exactly what I needed. Be careful what you pray for. For weeks before the strokes, I kept praying, Lord, send me a sign. I don't know if what I'm doing is right. I don't know. I'm having trouble focusing. I need to know where should I be putting my efforts. Send me a sign, Lord, and rejuvenate me, Lord. Give me some more energy. And I honestly believe this was just him tapping my brain and saying, you know what? You need to focus. And you know what it was? I need to put the emphasis on Jesus Christ and focus on his enemies. And his enemies are who we're training for up here this weekend. The enemies of Jesus Christ. There are enemies too. Because like Jesus said, when you go out, you know, they want to kill me, they're going to do the same thing to you. So we're going to train people to go into houses. If they get caught in the middle of the night and somebody's in that house, how to deal with it with nothing more than a pistol. On the field, we're going to teach them to move and shoot in unison. Now, guys that have been in combat, Steve and I discuss this all the time. All the training in the world goes out the window when you're really under fire. But if you have at least basic step-by-step instructions and you go from micro motor skills to gross motor skills, because to be honest, everything you do in combat is gross motor. We're going to work on that. I'm going to teach people how to focus on the enemy, how to focus on communication, how to engage targets, or decide that sometimes the better part of valor is hoofing it, the biblical doctrine of flight. And that's what we're going to discuss this weekend. How to use your assets without sacrificing or showing your weaknesses. You know, we're trying right now. We're having a little trouble doing it, taking that scene out of, what's it called, Defiance?
Yeah.
Where all they have is four bullets and one pistol after the Nazis invaded and took over Bulgaria. That's all they had. They go, what do we got? We got four bullets and one pistol. And one brother says, that'll be enough. Because he knew that there were three policemen that needed to be taken out, and they had guns. And he went to the home during dinner, walked in, and said, you killed my parents, you killed my sister, you killed my brother-in-law, you killed my nieces and nephews. I'm paraphrasing. And he shot the three policemen, and then the mother said, please shoot me. Remember that scene?
I remember.
Yeah, and so then he got guns, rifles, shotguns, pistols, whatever he needed, and they kept building from there. And we're going to show that scene on Saturday to try and get people to realize what life is all about. And what being a warrior priest really requires of you. All the talk in the world, all the preparation in the world is no good if you don't know how to put the, you know, action to the training. And that's what we're going to focus on, making it real this weekend. And each weekend after that, we're going to be up in the hills. You're going to Lou's going to be hunting you down. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great over these next few summer months. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. In the morning, what we're going to do is go right back to battle planning, exactly in accordance with what Dutch is saying. We're working on the acronym SMEAC, which is the acronym that the United States Army, United States Marine Corps uses, whether it's for the entire Army or Marine Corps or just a four-man team. SMEAC, situation, mission, execution, administration, and control. We're on the third letter of SMEAC, which is E for execution. And this fits in exactly with what Dutch said about the movie Defiance. We're going to show the Battle of Algiers, where they sneak up and they use a knife. They get a pistol. Then they sneak up with two guys. They get two pistols. Then they get guns. Then they start going open. They start with one guy with one knife, and within about 3 minutes in the clip, the Battle of Algiers, then you see where they're actually going into picking their targets and taking on 10 or 15 of the French Foreign Legion. And the French Foreign Legion, they are extremely good. They're right up there at the top. So this in with Defiance with four bullets, it fits right in with the Battle of Algiers. And then we're going to show the clips of the Sudanese Christians doing the same identical thing, defeating a high-tech Soviet-supplied army that's in there destroying their people. You can see it. You can go on there right now at abolishislam.com. So if you're in England and you only have bows and arrows, you don't even have that, you got a knife. I know you got a steak knife. If you watch these clips that we're posting and that Dutch and I will be working on. So Dutch is doing the field work and I'm doing the battle planning. And so in about 2 more months, I'm actually going to be able to give the students, a lot of them are veterans now, they've been in combat, but they haven't done battle planning. I'll be able to give them a situation and say, okay, using SMEAC, now I want you to come up with the paradigm, and I want you to write down the notes, and then I want you to stand up here and issue a battle plan exactly as the United States Army, United States Marine Corps does. We're going to specialize on cell warfare, guerrilla warfare. The Sudanese have done a fabulous, for real job.
Sure.
They started off, they got beat, they got battered, they got whooped, they got raped, they got burned up, they would not give up. And you can see this stuff. I'll be posting their clips over the next few days on abolishislam.com. Dutch, what are we charging now for this? $100 whopping dollars?
Yeah, it's $100 for one day of training for this month's training. And you're going to come away with a philosophical boot to the head. You're going to come away with some basic skills that you need to work on. We can't do it all for you. Most of you, unfortunately, are not willing to come up here and live next to us. We can't hold your hand when you go away. You've got to take this stuff home and train your family, your neighbors, your loved ones, your church. I told you last night that I went to Gateway Church to listen to a FEMA. Okay, I'm going to be nice. A FEMA person try and tell them what they needed to do to prepare for terrorism and stuff. Well, the person didn't show up, so somebody in the audience knew who I was, so I got up and did the presentation, ruffled a few feathers, but at least shared the gospel with them about what we need to be doing. You guys have got to be disciples of this Code 20 program. That's the whole point. We're planting seeds. You got to go water it. And that's just the way it's got to be. And if those of you don't remember or haven't heard or haven't been listening for long, the Sudanese are our people, man. Those of you people that call us racist, you pigs out there, our missionary is Peter Hammond. He is in Sudan with an AK-47, and we're sending him money to buy ammo and Bibles and bandages. And since he began this fight back in the 90s, this church has supported Peter Hammond. We sent him a Confederate flag to fly into battle because they know the truth about the flag of St. Andrew. So this church has been doing everything we can to support the Sudanese. And I would say, Steve, it is probably the only Christian nation on the planet right now because it just got born. It hasn't been perverted yet. It's the only truly Christian nation on the entire planet. It's in Africa.
Absolutely unafraid, unashamed to go to war using Christian principles. You can go online and check it out, abolishislam.com. Now, Dutch, you've not been sitting still. You've had two strokes, and you send me a note that now you and Lou and Miss Stacy are actually going to start looking at exercising, i.e., gold mining, because you're in gold country. So
sure.
For those of you who don't realize it, there is a lot of gold up there where the Church of Kauai is, and Dutch, being smart, using all of his assets, using everything he's got. So Dutch got some gold mining gear. I'm going to buy some metal detectors and give them to Dutch and Stacy. So in our October training, when we have 150 to 300 people, I'm hoping by that time, I'm sure we will, we'll actually have on-site training where you can learn about gold mining. And up in that area, there's a number of gold mines, I'd say 200-300 old gold mines. And with gold being at the value that it's at right now, you can actually go up there. You'll find stuff that they walked over and discarded years ago, but now at $1,300-1,400 an ounce.
It's worth it.
By the time October comes around, it might be $1,600-1,700 an ounce. And this is a great way for us to exercise, work together, and actually battle planning, too, because you're going to use teams of people. You're not going to do this by yourself.
Nope.
You're going to take two, three, four people, and Dutch and Lou and Stacy are going to check this out. So, and that goes using the assets and retreating. A lot of people in America think, oh, I can't retreat. Really? Well, retreating, some of the most important battle planning and operations is a tactical retreat. For example, in Korea, we were getting our butts kicked, and a lot of people laugh at it, but they're wrong. The United States Army did a tactical retreat, and they got back to the Pusan perimeter,
mm-hmm.
and they had saved enough of their equipment and enough of their men so that when we were able to get a regiment of Marines in there working together with the Army and the Marines broke the back of the North Korean attack, and then the rest of the Army and Marine Corps could come in there and whoop them. So we're learning all this stuff. And frankly, this is what the Sudanese, look, these dudes are black.
Yeah.
They are the blackest black I have ever seen, but these guys are courageous. I would fight next to them for them anytime. I don't know if I'm going to go over there and help them out. Frankly, they don't need my help. I could probably learn from them. Dutch can't. Dutch knows a lot more than I'm just teasing. I'm
just yeah, I just know but, what I'm told. I'm just following orders.
We got training this Saturday. Dutch is doing a fantastic job of the field work, organizing and getting people to work in teams. And then I'm setting the stage as a professional battle planner. That's what I did in the Marine Corps after 240 continuous every night ambushes in Vietnam. So I'm not some lightweight. Dutch is no lightweight. In fact, Dutch is coming back, man. I want to see you in about 90 days. You're going to be looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger about 20 years ago.
Oh, I hope so.
So we got that training, and then October, we got the station set. We got a couple of former politicians with black. In fact, a black lady, Zola Foster.
I was just going to ask if you wanted to talk about her, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
yeah.
I just think it's amazing.
I
just think it's amazing that we have a woman who ran for vice president with Buchanan that's going to start taking interest in what we're doing up here. Pastor has met her. I found out Pastor knows her. And was really excited when I shared that information with him. But you go ahead. You know more about her than I do.
Well, she's a great gal, and I've actually worked with her and showed her how to work with her little her pistol and how to, you know, clear it from jams and things of that nature. She's a wonderful warrior. She's on board with us 1,000%. She's trying to move back to California. She wants to live by the Church of Cahuilla. She knows Pastor Warren. She's on board. And she understands how corrupt the political system is when she ran for vice president of the United States with Pat Buchanan. Then we have another lady, Susan Fay, who is an elected Republican official in charge of 500,000 public school kids in San Diego. She saw the corruption. She saw Duke Cunningham, the first ace in Vietnam, thrown in prison. Republican, lying, cheating, pro-Islam. Oh, my gosh. It goes on and on. So we got all of this stuff coming together. So if any of you out there are calling us racist, come and get in our face.
I love it. Oh, I get so mad. I usually put their scars right next to the ones on my hands where I hit skinheads back in the 80s with. I got a new place for you.
Come and take on our electronic warfare officer, Mr. Lou, the 15-year-old who ran the show all by himself when Dutch had the stroke.
Yeah.
Lou is a real deal. He's tougher than nails. He's smart. He's quiet. He understands.
Sneaky.
He's
going
to be a great leader in this. So if you think we're racist, come on down. Go to our website, abolishislam.com. Look at the black guys we're working with, supporting. They're working with us. They're actually advising me on how to treat and work the Coptic Egyptian Christians because I don't know that much, but they do.
Yeah.
And we got Izola Foster, wonderful black lady. And her husband, Chuck Foster, great people. There's a 90% chance they'll be there for the training in October. And frankly, Chuck, her husband, was in the United States Army, and he'll whack your ass, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's funny. You know, I get people that go, oh, you guys are a bunch of Klansmen up there, and I'm standing next to my son, who's like half Cherokee Indian.
There it is.
Go ahead and keep talking.
Yeah, we'll keep
recording, right?
Yeah, we are. So, folks, the reason we keep dropping off is that we do not have DSL here because it's not available. We told you a year ago our goal was to get donations up. I'm going to plug it here. If we can get our donations to $500 a month and steady at $500 a month, we will move 3.5 miles down canyon to the hub for the DSL. We'll be in a shop at $300 a month. We will pay for the utilities. We will pay for DSL, and we won't have these dropouts. You guys have got to donate if that's what you want. I know people are complaining. They're saying, oh, this is terrible. But if we have enough listeners that if everybody just sent in $15 a month, we could be in the shop down the road. It's open again. It's available. The last guy that was in it fell out of it. We need $500 a month to pay the utilities, to do all that. We won't have these dropouts. We'll have Stronghold Radio on 24 hours a day. We'll be streaming Steve's TV show. Because we'll be able to have enough bandwidth, we'll have our own television network. So, folks, if you know, complain, but let's do something about it. I don't have any more money. I got to feed Lou. You know how many Pop-Tarts this kid downs in a day?
Two.
Just two boxes. So, if you like it, go to DutchJones.info, and we will send you stuff if you donate. We're sending out care packages, LBE. load-bearing equipment. We just got a great deal on some Bulgarian. It's Bulgarian, right, Lou?
Yeah.
Bulgarian World War II load-bearing equipment. You donate $25 to us, you're going to get a set of that. Some people are only donating $10 or $15. They're getting a flashlight. They're getting a pocket stove. I feel like a guy on the Home Shopping Network, but that's what we're doing. We know you need gear, and we need your money. So if you make donations, and we can keep that at $500 a month, I know that sounds like a lot, but with the number of listeners we have, we should be able to do whatever we're doing. Dutch, if you're having bandwidth issues, we can always use Liberty Tree Radio. I can't even get to it. That's the problem. I have to be able to get the signal out. All you have to do is, yeah, we could use the phone, I guess. We could call in on the phone and use Liberty Tree Radio if we have to. But then we couldn't afford the phone bill. it's catch 22. We need DSL and we need to be up. So thank you, Liberty Tree Radio. Thank you, Ed. I love that. So everybody check
Liberty Tree Radio's been doing a great job. Yeah, Liberty Tree Radio. They're very brave. They're very bold. They don't back down. They got a lot of courage. Some dude complained last week that we were being, not you, I was being a little bit too harsh. I was like, dude, have you ever been in real combat? I mean, go and watch the guys in Operation Avalanche Rock. They're with 101st Airborne getting their butts kicked.
Yeah.
Close combat is considered 150 yards and closer. The furthest I ever was in combat was 50 feet. That was the furthest I ever was. So if you think that I'm too harsh, dude, what are you doing in combat? You're close combat. You're going to take a bayonet and ram it up somebody's belly and rip him up to his gullet and dump him, and then you're going to laugh at him when he's laying there dead. Now, I know a lot of you guys, look, you talk big, but I did it. My son did it. Dutch did it. My son was blown up by a suicide bomber, shot up. He came back up after they blew his eardrums out, and he shot about 14 Al-Qaeda to death with automatic weapons from less than 20 feet away. That's combat.
That is.
He's still in the Army. He's going to become an officer. All of the kids over there, they're sick and tired of the sissies. Now we got women in the Army. You thought...
Let's say that. We got to go to a break. Let's talk about that after the break. I'm glad you brought that up.
All right.
Man, the time for being nice is over, so don't expect us to be nice anymore. My stroke woke me up. We're going to be back after the break. You're listening to Stronghold Radio with all our problems on our sister network, Liberty Tree Radio. We'll be right back after this. One wife so ugly, I'm glad you wear a burqa. When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Break went because we talked over the music. Well, that's okay. We got lots of information to put out. You don't even hear the music. You're listening to Stronghold Radio coming to you from Camp Kawea. I'm Dutch Jones for now. The Dread Pirate Roberts scenario. I'll explain that later. And it's Tuesday, and we're talking with Steve Klein about Code 20, what we're doing about solutions. We don't just sit here and whine about what the government's doing, what Islam's doing, what the Zionists are doing. We come up with solutions, and that's what Code 20 is all about. AlterOrAbolish.com, AbolishIslam.com, AlterOrAbolish.com, AbolishIslam.com. You'll see some great videos there. You can make contact with Steve Klein. You want him to come speak to you. You want him to talk to your church, your group, your little knitting circle, your patchwork group. He'll do it. We'll make arrangements. You've got to hear what he's putting down. You got to be harvesting what this man is planting. He's bringing the truth. And without further ado, Steve, are you still there, or did you leave to go do an interview with Fox or something?
No, I'm not on CNN. Before we get to the break, we mentioned what they're doing to the girls in the United States military, Army and Marine Corps, over in Afghanistan. It's insane, and it's put together by the same knucklehead, General Petraeus. I have very ill feelings about him, his competency. He is not a true patriot. I don't like that guy at all. But in any case, they're sending our women Marines and our women soldiers outside of the FOBs, forward operating bases, wearing a Muslim headscarf and no helmet. That is cause for relief by cause. This is insane. General Petraeus, Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, this is insane. Now, in reality, I contacted by Facebook some of the kids in Afghanistan through my son today, and they said, well, look, when we see the girls out here, they got helmets on, they're in the background, and frankly, with our rules of engagement, are insane. For example, our soldiers or Marines are required to knock on the door and say, hello, United States Army, United States Marine Corps, can we please come in? And the big bad wolf Taliban on the inside says, no, go away. Don't want to talk to you. Yeah. And we have to leave. It's insane. Now, Petraeus also came out and said the pastor, Terry Jones, who burned up the Quran, and I agree with him. Let's show the true face of Islam. Burn the frickin' Quran. Watch these animal, barbarian, mongrel dogs from hell go crazy and murder each other, so that people can understand that Islam is insane. So Terry Jones burns the Bible, and Petraeus, who's so stupid, he's putting headscarves on the women and sending them out of the forward operating base. Then he says about Terry Jones, that's hate speech, that's intolerant. No, General Petraeus, you're insane, you're stupid. Your inability to understand what you're doing over there is hate speech towards our American Constitution. Petraeus, your behavior and your talking, your thinking is hate speech towards the Church of Jesus Christ. To support Islam is hate speech, period.
Yeah.
These people that we have in charge, Admiral Mullen, General Casey, General Petraeus, all of these guys are pro-Islam. I saw it when I was working with senior members of the Marine Corps a couple of years ago, when I was a consultant for them, being paid $500 an hour. In any case, this all fits together with why Dutch Jones, why we need Code 20. Right now I got William Levi, the Sudanese pastor, is calling me on the... But I got to stay on the radio, so I'll talk to him after the show.
Sure. Well, if you want to take a quick...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. General Petraeus, if you guys don't remember... I think it was last summer, burned thousands of Bibles so they wouldn't offend the Muslims. Remember that? They confiscated Bibles from our soldiers that were sent by their families, and they burned our Bible. And nobody wants to talk about that. It's okay to burn the Bible or the American flag or the Constitution, but God help anybody that burns a Koran. They'll go on a rampage and kill UN soldiers. Hey, wait a minute. I think that's a good idea. I burn a Koran over here, put it on my website. They go kill UN soldiers? That might be a really good cause and effect kind of thing going on there. We get rid of a few of the UN guys over there. So I have no problem with it. What we do is I download pages of the Koran, and we use them for kindling. Lou cleans up the dog poop in the backyard with it. We have a cat box that we line with pages of the Koran. I'm actually looking for some place where I can get free copies of the Koran. Somebody told me I can go to CARE and get them. And that way I would have an ample supply for cleanup. Why buy paper towels anymore? They're not as absorbent. Just use more. Or use the whole book to clean the feces off the front lawn with it. And then burn it.
By the way, I just got a book. It's called The Perfect Man. It's by one of my friends. It's about Muhammad. It's called The Perfect Man. And my friend who's written a number of books, I can't say his name because he's so terrified. I can't say where he lives. I've met him a number of times. I've done speaking engagements with him. He's written a number of books. He just wrote a book about Muhammad. Here we go. Here's the table of contents.
Go.
It says, sexual impotence, that was a problem of Muhammad. Pedophile prophet, that was Muhammad. Incestuous prophet, Muhammad. Gay prophet,
yeah.
Muhammad. Now, this is all documented. A lot of people don't know this, that he was a fag. He did some really weird stuff. Muhammad, exhibitionist prophet, Muhammad. Adulterer prophet. How about this one? Transvestite prophet. Yeah,
oh,
Muhammad
yeah.
used to wear the clothes of his little six-year-old wife when, yeah. It's transvestite, Muhammad the transvestite. Now, I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be reading this book this Thursday on my television show. And my buddy said, well, yeah, go for it, but they're going to kill you. And I So my pals, I have to be real careful or they'll track it back because they're crazy. Muhammad, sex during menstruation. The dude was a pervert.
Yeah.
Necrophilia prophet. He had sex with dead women.
Oh.
And, some other stuff in there. Rape, amputations, torture, murder prophet, liar prophet. So the name of this book is called, it's got robber prophet, perfect man, suicidal prophet, bewitched prophet, demon possessed. That's from the satanic verses of the Quran, satanic verses, satanic prostration, et cetera, et cetera. The name of the book is The Perfect Man, Muhammad, the Founder of Islam. I'll be reading this and working with this on TV. Yes, when I do my TV show, yes, I do have a 44 Magnum and a 40 Glock with me legally because I'm on business property and I can carry when I'm on business property, even though it's Los Angeles County. So if the Muslims come racing through the door, they can go visit their 72 little fags and because it was 100, 72 girls, 28 boys. Yeah, so we'll be talking about that.
Yeah, sick stuff. Oh, and you're not going to hear this from Sean Hannity or any of those guys,
because
Arabs partially own Fox. And you notice I said Arabs.
They
I didn't
do.
Say Muslim. I said Arabs because they're all the problem. They've always been a problem. The Bible told us that, that the Arabs were going to be a problem to all the other tribes. Why is everybody surprised at this?
That's found in Genesis 16:12. Yeah. You're right. It's Arabs come from Arabia. Muslims could live in Egypt or Thailand or Indonesia, but Arabs, Dutch is absolutely right. In fact, if you call a Middle East Christian an Arab, though he speaks Arabic, they get really offended. They're Christians. They're not Arabs. Arabs only come from Arabia. And in fact, even the Muslims do too. The Arabian or the non-Arab Muslims are jealous and hate Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia, frankly, destroys everybody. So
that
Dutch is absolutely right.
So some scary stuff and truth, and that's what scares them. You know, I remember when this pastor burnt that 2 weeks ago, nobody paid any attention to him. They didn't want it to get out. And now suddenly Lindsey Graham, that retarded congressman, I think he's from South Carolina, right? South North Carolina. He wants to ban the burning of a Quran and the negative speech against Arabs. This same guy voted for it being free speech to burn, stomp on, urinate on the American flag, and also voted for a government grant for the guy who put the crucifix in a jar of urine, but yet he wants to protect Muslims. It's topsy-turvy, it's upside down, logic is out the door. This country's elected officials have pirated this entire republic, and it's, you know, people go, you can't say that. They're the ones committing traitorous acts, not us.
Exactly. Which leads us right back to training this Saturday. Come on down if you can, or in October. You're going to get some of the finest training. It's a hell of a lot better than, what's the name of those screwballs in Nevada?
Oh, Front Sight. Yeah, the Scientologist guy.
Front Sight, zero compared to us. Front Sight is... Look, any idiot can grab a pistol or a rifle or a shotgun and pull a trigger. How hard is that to do? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But we're going through the proper Christian biblical warfare. Not only Dutch does a fabulous job of safety and explaining stuff and going through the Christian principles. So what you hear in the lecture room, you're never going to hear anywhere in the United States, including sheriffs, including the police. And frankly, nowadays, you're not going to hear it in the military anymore, because the days when we used to base it on just warfare theory, Christian warfare, Hugo Grotius, father of international law, James Madison, the law written on the heart, which we've proved a number of times. You're not going to hear that in the military. You're going to even from our World War II veterans, they've gotten old and they've forgotten that. They don't care about it.
Yeah.
You're going to hear it from Dutch. You're going to hear it from Lou. Even Miss Stacy, she's a good shot, too.
Oh, yeah. She's, oh, boy. It just the women always seem to grasp it faster and better. You know, and we don't believe in women warriors on the front line, but we want them to be able to protect the home front while we're out doing what we need to do. And we train our women. We train our young men. I have no minimum age limit. It depends on whether or not the child will listen and can manipulate the weapon in a way that is safe and with purpose. But if they can't, you know what we do? We give them a stick. And the pastor's son is, what, 4 now, Lou?
Yes.
I'm not going to give his name out. But he comes out and drills with us with a piece of wood, because we need to pass this on to the next generations. My daughter is 10. She had her first rifle at 4. She would sit on my lap and shoot a little single-shot Henry rifle. And when she comes out, she does. She's more into archery now, but that's fine. It's still building a skill. But she still likes using the rifle, and it horrifies her birth mama. But I'm going to teach her to be able to fight without a weapon. She can pick up, you know, I'm just going to flat out say it. She can pick up any weapon I have in the house and use it. Oh, boy, a bunch of people just got horrified, didn't they? Because I don't put my guns in a safe. You know what happens when you put a gun in a safe? You're basically just reserving it so the guy can, you know, torture you to get the combination. Anybody who owns a gun
murder,
safe, I don't understand.
Murder safely kills you.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Murder safely kills you.
Or like we were staying at Grandma's house, and Lou's got his own 9mm, and it was funny because Grandma walked in, she's like, "Is that thing loaded?" I go, "Of course it's loaded, it's a gun." I go, "You know what you call an unloaded gun, Grandma?" She goes, "No, what?" I go, "A hammer." And she's like, "What?" And I said, "I trust Lewis behind me with a gun more than just about anybody else at the church." I said, you know, and she's like, "Oh, okay." You know, she didn't tell her, you know, it's her house. If she'd have said, "I don't want him having," but I think she listened to me, and she was like,
good.
Okay. Because it's funny, like, at the last conference, Lou did a firing demonstration, and, like, everybody was like, "How did he learn to do that?" Same classes we offer. He took the classes we offer. You know, and he practices. He practiced, you know, a lot. And he was he's the fastest draw in the church. He's the most accurate shooter. And I shouldn't be saying this in front of him, but he gets it. He gets it.
Yeah.
And
he scares me.
And we've got, because of him, at that conference, other teenage boys started coming over and going, "Can you train me?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll train you." You know, so, you know, that's how we do it.
Yeah, we got some good teenagers coming in now, huh?
Yeah. Children are arrows in our quiver. Our children, and we've got to fire them into the future. We've got to make sure that they pack, because, you know, you'll hear Steve and I say this: this battle coming, this civil war, this invasion, whatever it is, I don't care. It's just like whatever God, you know, has a plan. I'm here for him. If we don't train our kids, I may not live to see it. I may have another stroke in the next year and drop dead. That's God's will. I'm not going to sit here and whine about it. But I know now that Lou's going to protect his mom and his sister. And I know that he's going to protect the women of this church. I know that if a madman comes into this church and I'm not here and Lou gets a hold of him, they're mincemeat. And it's not just saying, "Well, he's never been tested." He has. I've seen how he reacts under stress.
Yeah. He's
and
good.
We've got to prepare people. We've got to prepare our children. And that's what we're doing here. And we're not living in fear of somebody seeing us and, you know, suing us or... We've had law enforcement come here before, and we throw them off the property. We throw them off the property because they're evil law enforcement. Good law enforcement, we ask them to train with us.
Yep.
You know?
Speaking about preparing, I want to go back to last hour and talk about Obama and the Muslim Brotherhood. But first, and we'll talk about him being, you know, part of the Al-Qaeda, et cetera. The Egyptian Christians I work with think he is. I think he clearly part of the Muslim Brotherhood. But in Sudan... I want to read the success that they're having. They implemented Code 20. Sudan was one of the world's first regions to hear the gospel. A lot of people don't know that. Long before Islam came, Judeo-Christian Nubia was a thriving kingdom. An independent South Sudan, free in Christ, is a modern, democratic, resurrected Nubia. The implications of the gospel and true liberty are enormous. By halting the advance of the jihadist South Sudan, not only remains free to pursue Christ, but keeps the heart of sub-Sahara Africa open for the gospel. However, I fear that many of our people are forgetting the reasons why we were driven into exile. The root of the displacement was based on Khartoum's Islamic quest to expand Islamization of the South Sudan and control our natural resources. Our country is rich in water, oil, minerals, and a soil fertile for growing food. Sounds like the church at Kouya. Through this diabolical endeavor, they have succeeded in eroding the basic institutions of family and church. That's what Dutch, Pastor Warren, myself are talking about. If there is anything to be gained for Southern Sudan Christians, in fact, it says Southern Christians, so maybe they fought for the South. We must first return to the biblical blueprint for strengthening the home front and rebuilding the church. These are our foundations, the fulcrum of thriving society. Everything else we hope to gain hinges on them. That's exactly what Pastor Warren is doing at the Church of Kouya, Dutch, and myself, which leads me to the opposite of this, which is Obama, Al-Qaeda, drug mule, Muslim Brotherhood. Can we prove this? No, because I think he's part of the cell.
Yeah.
Is he actively trying to destroy the United States? Well, look at General Petraeus.
Yeah.
The guy's a total moron, sending chicks out there with no helmet, just a scarf on their head, and then he badmouths Terry Jones for doing what we, you know, give me liberty or give me death, give me the First Amendment, and Petraeus is so stupid he can't figure it out. I'll bet you $1 million, General Petraeus does not understand Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, what to do with pirates. I don't think he cares. I don't think Admiral Mullen cares. I know that Mr. Muslim Brotherhood, Obama, Hussein, Barack Hussein Obama, he's bad mojo, and he alone is reason why we need Code 20. I'm going to shut up and let you talk, Dutch.
You know, we see so much wrong out there on the horizon and everything that happens every day, and people live in fear. You know, they're like, well, I'm afraid to come up there and train with you. I'm afraid to get involved. I don't live on a shooting range, so I don't have the time to do it. There's always something you can do. You can research the stuff Steve just talked about. You can look up Petraeus. You can look up how they're violating international law, how they're violating the Constitution. Educate yourself and become a mouthpiece for the cause. Or you can practice in your house with airsoft, dry fire practice, get muscle memory down. Build your brain and your body to fight the cause. Don't think just because you live in the middle of a city or a hellhole somewhere and you can't get out, you're surrounded by scum. Train in your sanctuary, in your house. We're a sanctuary here at the Church at Kouya. We've got signs up at the entrance that say, this is a sanctuary of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot enter here without permission. And the permission is granted by the pastor, and I'm a vicegerent of the pastor. We're all vicegerents of Jesus Christ. Go look the word up, vicegerent. I'm not going to hand you everything. Vicegerent. When law enforcement comes here, like when we're doing a big training and they send up to tell us we need a permit to do a training, and believe it or not, Steve, they've done it 3 times since I've been here in 5 years. We're like, get off the property, you have no jurisdiction, and they always leave. Because once you exercise your right and you're a knowledgeable citizen, a free man, they go, oh, we can't do that. And it's usually not the deputy that lives in our community. He knows, and he usually gets mad when they do it. It's somebody filling in for him who's just trying to flex their muscles, some young, you know, new deputy. And they're like, you don't have a special use permit.
Jurisdiction.
And I said, if I get a special use permit, then I'm granting you jurisdiction. Go look up how this land is. We are not exempt. We are immune. This church was started out as a church close, a sanctuary. Now, on the other side of the coin, people use that for evil. The Catholic Church is notorious in Southern California for hiding illegal aliens, and they can do nothing to stop that. They can't even enter church property. Police, FBI, they can't do it. So when they come up here, we just say, hey, this is just like the Catholic Church. You have no jurisdiction. However, if the cop has a good attitude, we invite him to stay and let him shoot a few rounds. And they always, this is what's always happened when they've had a good attitude. We don't get this kind of training at the academy. And I've never been taught how to fire from the close retention position. They never teach us that. You know, and some of the instructors we brought in are ex-front sight guys because they left over moral issues because they found out the owner of front sight's a freaking Scientologist.
Yeah.
They come here and train us here. Rudy. Rudy, what's his last name? Waldinger?
Yeah.
From DFT. That's who's trained me the last few years, and I share it with you on top of the other things that I've learned. So
yeah, absolutely.
This is a church close. We have a very unique situation here. We have our own cemetery. We're going to have our own fire department here very soon. We're going to have our own police department here very soon. And you know what the county's doing? Having to. Because we're doing it all legally within the law because we exercise our rights. It's like muscle memory. If you don't practice your presentation of the weapon or holding that rifle or sight alignment, you lose it. Same thing with your rights. If you don't exercise and get muscle memory in your brain of your rights of the Constitution and which are just simple outlines of what God has given us, you're useless to the cause. If you're going to sit around all day and go, oh, what if the ADL finds out? Oh, what if the Mexican MAPA, I can't remember the name of it, the Mexican political party finds out what you're doing. You're training people to catch illegals. Yeah, La Raza finds out. And we just say, we can't live in fear. All we can do is do what the Lord told us to do before he was crucified. Go to all tribes of the world. I'm going to butcher this. I'm paraphrasing. Preach the gospel, bring them the good word, and occupy until I return. He used a military term. He said occupy. That doesn't mean sit and twiddle your thumbs to occupy your time like Americans have turned it into. Don't watch NASCAR and go to soccer games. No, you occupy. You go forth, take land, and hold it, secure it for our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let me butt in just for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
You did it. The Continental Congress was started just exactly like the Church at Cahuilla. The Church at Cahuilla is done exactly. It's a replica of the Continental Congress. You set up your own government. This is in accordance with 2 Kings chapter 11. You set up your own government. You see, you have your own fire department. You have your own cemetery. Imagine that, your own cemetery. What I'm hoping and praying for is that when I get murdered by the Muslims, what's left of me, they'll bury me there at the Church of Cahuilla, and Lou and my son can continue on. So what Dutch is saying is exactly in accordance with Anglo-American common law that created the Continental Congress, that created the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of Independence, Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance, which says Christianity or religion, Protestant Christianity, religion, being necessary to good government, and then the Constitution minus slavery. So I know that Pastor Warren is humble, and I mentioned to him when I saw him about 6 months ago, I said, you know, you have set up your own government. He said, well, and he was kind of embarrassed. I said, yeah, you have, and this is exactly what we need to do. Code 20 is the military arm of the Church at Cahuilla, the community of Cahuilla, the United States of Cahuilla that'll survive Islam, the fags, La Raza, abortion, United Nations, the New World Order. The Church at Cahuilla, I am confident, in 50 to 100 years will be the backbone. It'll be like the United Counties of the community of Cahuilla instead of the United States of America. And also on the because the Muslims and all these other crazies, New World Orders, the fags, the abortionists, United Nations creeps, I want to also tag along with what Dutch said with muscle memory. The reason my son, after he was blown up, shot up, he had arterial bleeding, he could barely see, but I asked him when I saw him a few days later, believe it or not, I said, how in the hell did you get blown up, your inner bones all shattered, shot up, arterial bleeding, and then you faced off about 38 Al-Qaeda, him and one other guy, and my son shot about 13 Al-Qaeda to death, and the other kid shot about 14 or 15 of the Al-Qaeda to death, and my son said, Dad, I did muscle memory 3, and my son is a trained sniper, led kill teams, knew he's one of the best shots in the world. But he said it was the muscle memory, exactly what Dutch is saying, when he got beat up, shot up, mangled, blown up, could hardly see, but it was the muscle memory that enabled him to fight back. So God bless the women, but girls, you ain't going to do what young men could do. There's only about a minute or two left. I'm done. Go for it, Dutch. You are in control.
That's right. We're about ready to roll the outgoing. Our God is an awesome God, and yes, indeed, he is. He will give you the hardships and the blessings that are required to make you the man he knows you need to be. He will attach you to a family to make you the woman you need to be. And a lot of people don't like that. We're not feminists here. He will make you the child, the son, the daughter of a leader, of a warrior priest of the household to make you the Christian you need to be. You need to trust in God and God alone. Do not trust in chariots or horses, tools. Just trust in God and do what He tells you to do. Teach your fingers to fight, your hands to war, and to do everything that you can to ensure that our faith, our way of life, our Anglo law, our belief systems survive. That's it, folks. That's all you got to do. You do what the Lord asks you to do, and you will be fine no matter how much pain you go through, no matter what your losses are. It's a blink of an eye when you compare it to the reward one day of eternity praising the Lord. And some people go, oh, that just sounds sad. I don't want to just praise the Lord. Well, you need to get in line. You need to study. You need to get the muscle memory of your brain together. You need to be part of the solution and stop sitting on your hands waiting for a cosmic bailout with your millennialism saying, oh, I'm going to be raptured. Why should I do this? We have to let the world get bad so that Jesus will return. Jesus is going to return no matter what you do. But do you want to be part of the answer or do you want to be part of the problem? Because if you get in my way, if you get in Steve's way, if you get in the way of righteous Christians on this new... People say, you can't use the word crusade. They're on the third great jihad. Our answer is a crusade. And that's what it is, folks. Well, we're done. You're listening to Stronghold Radio coming to you from Camp Kuya, California. And we'll be back tomorrow with more things that you need to know. Good night. God bless you. And have a pleasant tomorrow.